Well, hi, Ray. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this talk with us. We know that you're the founder of Industry Me Official, and Industry Me as the blog has been doing really, really well and flourishing so much. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and also how we can approach bloggers.
Okay, cool. Well, we're off to a good start. I'm off mute, so that's always positive. How to approach bloggers. Essentially, the purpose of this talk is just going to be for me to give you some of the pitfalls to avoid when reaching out. There's a lot of mistakes that I see all the time. As you can imagine, I'm inundated with hundreds of emails on a sort of weekly basis. So kind of these are the mistakes that I've seen that I'm hoping that I can help you avoid. But before we get into all of that, I'll give you a brief intro to me and why I'm actually qualified to give you this talk. So I'm a music and culture journalist. I've been, I'd say, working in the industry for about five, almost 6 years now. It started as a bit of kind of personal blogging for me and just me wanting to spotlight upcoming talent, much like yourself. So it's kind of grown into its own platform over the years. So we currently have 7 writers based in various different places, some based here in the UK and others based abroad. We have one writer based in New York and a few others based out in Africa as well. Outside of that, I'm also a member of the Ramshi podcast. So I'm very much invested within the music and culture space. Okay, so the key takeaways. These are what I'm hoping you gain from this talk today. So I'm hoping that you'll know what to include in an email subject line, the do's and don'ts of submission emails, kind of when to start reaching out to people, and how to engage with journalists on social media. That's a very crucial one because I see a lot of really cringy things that I'm really hoping people stop doing after this talk. Okay, so we'll start with crafting your email subject line. And why this is important is that this is probably the first point at which you'll be in contact with the journalist or blogger you're trying to reach. But before we even jump into that, I do want to stress the importance of doing your research even before you start approaching platforms. So make sure the platform that you're about to approach actually covers your genre, covers artists from the country that you're actually based in, and double check that you have the right email as well before. It's a lot easier to contact editors and journalists through their direct emails rather than going through an info one. But obviously, if you can't find their direct emails, then the info one is fine. Okay, so crafting your email subject line. What are the most common mistakes that I see? Okay, no indicator of urgency. So for me, that would mean I don't know when this release is coming out. I don't know how soon I need to check this email. The email subject line is a very, very short amount of time, but I need to be able to ascertain it almost as soon as it comes in. Do I need to open this now? Can I leave this to my lunch break? Can I leave this at the end of the day? As I've mentioned, we're getting so many emails a day. I need to know, like, kind of, is this something I need to respond to at this present moment in time? So definitely have some type of indicator of urgency in the subject line. And if something is time sensitive, definitely mention that. So if you are releasing, for example, within the next couple of days, and I'll tell you why emailing about something in the next couple of days is a very, very bad thing to do most of the time. But if you are doing something like that, definitely mention that something is time sensitive when you pitch. Something else, the person being unclear about the request. What is it that you want from me? Is it an interview? Is it a review? Is it a news feature? What is it that you're asking for? Because again, I can immediately ascertain, do I have space in the editorial calendar for that? Is this something that we're going to be able to cover right now? Where is it going to get placed? Is it going to be a social share? Is it going to be an interview? How much work is going to be required here? Is it something I'm going to do myself or something I'm going to assign to another writer, et cetera, et cetera? And the third and final one, trying too hard to be quirky. For me personally, this comes across as very cringe. Some editors like it. I am not one of those. Like, please do not include 7 exclamation marks or random emojis or start your subject line with, this is going to be the best song you've ever heard, or this is going to be the best song you've heard today. Because honestly, when you raise expectations that high, the song really better be good. Otherwise, you've basically just shot yourself in the foot. So yeah, let's try it. Let's try and avoid being quirky, please, guys. So now I've told you kind of the things to avoid, I'm going to tell you exactly what to include in your email subject line. So As I mentioned, an indicator of urgency, what is your release date? If I can see that your release date is, for example, going to be that Friday, I know that I probably need to open this email today if there's going to be any chance of us covering this. If I can see that the release date is, I don't know, within a month's time, I know I probably don't need to open this email right now, but also you're probably going to have a better chance of coverage from me because you've submitted so far in advance that I know I have some time to jig some things around in the editorial calendar for this. And also I know that when I'm sending this out to my writers, how soon I need to send that out as well. And it just gives me, it lets me get my bearings. Then the next thing, the artist name, who is it? That's something that I think that's very, very simple that you can include. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Song title doesn't always have to be there, but it's a nice touch if you can fit it in. The type of coverage, this is very, very important. Again, I've mentioned it previously, but what is it that you're asking for? Because again, it helps me to assign things and I know immediately sort of who this is going to go to and how soon I need to respond to it. And also this kind of gives me an idea of prep time as well, because for example, a news piece is so much quicker to prep for than an interview. So then it kind of gives me a heads up as to how long in advance I'm going to have to sit with this email before sending it off to somebody else also. Genre, this is optional, but obviously if you're submitting to a platform that covers a specific type of genre, for example, if you do R&B music and you're submitting to an R&B platform, it's very, very useful to write that you're an R&B artist, because that then tells the platform that you've done your research and you know why you're submitting to them. Because there's nothing more annoying, especially for us at Industry Me, for example, we tend to cover pop and R&B. So if I see something in the subject line that says, I don't know, rock band, for example, I know immediately we're not covering that. And that's kind of the quickest way to get an email ignored. So again, kind of goes back to what I said about research. But if you do want to show the platform that you've done your research, adding your genre when you know that they covered that specific genre is a great way to do that. So yeah, good brownie points there. So when do you approach? My general rule of thumb is as soon as you have all your assets ready to go and you've got your kind of list of emails, you can start pitching out to places. I think pitching early gives you the best possible chance of getting coverage. One, because it gives you the most opportunity for follow-ups, but also, especially if you're just starting out or if you're a smaller artist, what tends to happen with a lot of platforms is that they tend to prioritize bigger artists. It's unfair, I know, but it's just the nature of the game. So to give yourself the best possible chance, especially when you're upcoming, try and pitch as early as you can. And also in terms of space in the editorial calendar, there's more likely to be space the earlier you pitch, because then people know exactly where to place you and they know, oh, so-and-so has got a release coming out in a month's time. There's nothing in the editorial calendar for that month yet. I can cover that. So yeah, and also I think in terms of general quality of coverage, the earlier you pitch is the more time it actually gives journalists to cover your song and really actually take the time to take in your music and to listen to it. I think one of my personal gripes with the industry as it stands is that we're just consuming content too fast and no one's really able to make quality judgments on music because we're just taking it in too fast. So if you send it further in advance, it gives the journalist a lot more time to take in your music. So yeah, that's pretty much all the points I've covered. But if you want an actual amount of time, I'd say anywhere between sort of 10 and 14 days is a good ballpark as to when you need to start reaching out to platforms. So yeah, if you sort of do 2 weeks to 10 days, that gives you enough time for follow-up and gives the journalist also enough time to take in your music. Okay, so what do you include in a submission email? So we've got the subject line down, the journalist has opened your email, now what? Okay, cool. So these are the things that you need to include. Number one, an artist bio. Especially as an upcoming artist, the likelihood is if a journalist Googles you, there's not going to be much out there about you. So in order to be able to craft their story, you need to give that journalist as much to work with as possible. And this is how you do so. So you tell them exactly who you are, how long you've been making music, if you want to include that, what inspires you or what are the artists you're inspired by. And that's the sort of thing that you include in your artist bio. It doesn't have to be too long. I'd say anywhere between sort of 100 to 200 words for an artist bio, and that's if we're really pushing it, but I'd say 100 words would do. And then a summary of the song. So what is the song about? Kind of what's the mood? What's the feeling? What inspired it? Was it inspired by a particular story? You can include a quote if you want to, that sort of thing. Again, the release date. I know you've put it in the subject line, but it doesn't hurt to remind them within the body of the email when you are actually going to be releasing this track. Links to your music. Make it easy for the journalist. Like downloads and attachments, unless they're specifically asked for by the platform, just avoid them. One, because it clogs up the inbox, and that's quite annoying because it just means we have to end up deleting a bunch of emails. But also, everything just needs to be one click away. Make it super easy. Don't make the journalist's life more difficult than it needs to be. Similarly, with links to socials, this is something I find particularly annoying personally. So what people tend to do, which is something I would suggest you avoid, is put their handle but no link. So then the journalist then has to copy and paste your handle into the search engine, and that it just creates extra work. Make our lives easy, just link it so that everything is just one click away, and then we can kind of have your socials up and then links to the music, and everything is just very, very easily accessible. And finally, press images. One, because I feel like that your image is very much a form of marketing and representation of you as an artist, and it gives us a bit of a feel as to who you are, and just adds a bit more color and flavor to the email that you sent. And also, press images tend to break up text. Nobody likes to just read a big block of text, so that also helps with that as well. So yes, moving very swiftly on to social media etiquette. How do you engage on social media with journalists? We'll start with the positives. Let's start with the do's. Okay. So if you're going to engage with a journalist, for example, on Twitter, I think one of the best ways you can do this is to actually engage with their work. So if you see that they've posted an article that you've enjoyed and that you've read, let them know what you like about their work. I think it's really nice to know that your work as a journalist is being appreciated. And so I think this is one of the best ways you can do that. Just literally, it doesn't even need to be anything long. Just be like, oh, I really like what you said about such and such, or I hadn't previously considered the angle that you explored in this article, or oh, you, this really made me think, or literally it can be something as small as that, but that goes a long way in a journalist's mind. And something else, which is even less work, is simply sharing their work. So you can literally say, oh, came across this really cool article by such and such, give it a read or whatever. And that, obviously you don't have to do that, so any journalist that sees you actively engaging with what they do, I think, is definitely going to be a lot more warmer to you when you do eventually approach them as an artist. I'm pretty sure they'll recognize your name as well, so it's a good way to sort of get your name on their radar as well. Now moving on to the don'ts. Okay, there's not really a lot of these, but there are a few things that have been happening quite frequently that I think we just all need to stop. The first one, spamming the DMs. Please, can we avoid doing this? One, because who has got time to read a whole press release in their DMs? Can you imagine like how long press releases come across in emails, and then trying to add that in mobile format in a DM? That's absolutely insane. Like, that's way too much text for anyone to process in a DM, for starters. And second, most journalists have their emails really easily accessible anyway. So the fact that you're sending a press release in their DMs just kind of shows that you haven't researched enough, or haven't, you know, it just comes across as very lazy, to be honest. My email is usually right there. So the fact that you've chosen not to use it, I really don't understand that. But I can promise you that's probably one of the quickest ways to annoy someone. So yeah, do not spam journalists in the DMs. What is okay to do if they don't have their email in their bio or don't have their email accessible, I think it's perfectly fine to say, oh, I really, really love your work, and I think you'd really like what I do, and what's the best email to reach you on? That's perfectly fine to say, but please, please, please do not send press releases in the DMs. Something else to also avoid is if you've emailed a journalist, do not then come to their DMs and then say, oh, I've just emailed you, please can you check your email? One, because I feel like that's quite invasive, and two, not every journalist actually uses their social media for business purposes. So I feel like, yeah, that can be quite invasive. So yeah, please avoid spamming us in the DMs. this is another thing. Do not in it like all of their Instagram pictures. It's in an attempt to get their attention. We do see it, and most of us find it quite creepy. I mean, I'm sure they appreciate the love that you're giving them on Instagram, but we do know what you're doing. So it's not an effective strategy to get our attention, and sometimes it can come across as a bit creepy. So yeah, probably best to avoid that one too. Again, I've mentioned that following up on an email you sent via DM. So with that being said, do we have any questions?
I'm going to kick off with a quick question, if that's all right. In terms of PR, and you talk about PR agencies and then the individual artists, what is the ratio that you get from an agency versus an individual?
Okay. So does individual include management as well? So I'd say it's actually quite evenly split. I'd say maybe like 30 to 40% are PR companies. And then I'd say 60% would be like artists directly and or artist managers. But even within that split, I would say like it's from that 60%, 30% would probably be artists directly. And then the other 30 would be artists who are represented by managers. So it's actually quite an even split. I'd say PR companies maybe have a slight bit more communication with us, but generally speaking, it's not that big of a difference. It's quite evenly split.
So it's accessible for, say, an up-and-coming artist to be able to, if they can get all these things right, to be able to submit to you and actually be able to get heard and all of those kind of things.
Absolutely. But I think the caveat with that is we're definitely more focused on upcoming talent. So I think for bigger platforms, I'd probably say it'd be slightly more PR, and also not just PR but also labels as well, because you find that a lot of labels actually reach out directly, because that's something that happens with us as well. Labels actually reach out to us directly. So the bigger the platform, I guess, the more voices you're competing with. But definitely for the smaller platforms, it's very 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 even split.
Awesome. Fantastic. A massive shout out to Ray from Industry Me for coming on the show. And if you want to have access to masterclasses just like this one, then head over to www.hypertribe.com. And over there, you can access masterclasses around songwriting, also being able to release your music in the right way, and so much more. We'll be back next week with a few other people in the music industry who are really trying to help artists just like yourselves make sure that they can level up. Over at Hypertribe, as ever, we're still building the next generation of artists. If you're looking to develop your craft, then Hypertribe is going to be your home. With 300 other artists that are involved with Hypertribe, you can also band together and make sure that you are learning from the best. Until next time, take care and stay safe.